All right. Hey guys, I'm recording this on Thanksgiving Day. If you guys are like me, you had a big Thanksgiving dinner. So now you're stuffed and you're lying in the dark. I gotta get better lighting for these videos. But nonetheless, I just had a big dinner, so I'm pretty stuffed right now. But I am recording this Wednesday information video, so this is getting posted on October the 14th, so a couple of days from now, talking about what I learned. And what I think can be an assistance to Masonic temples, Masonic buildings from the APT National Trust 2020 Joint Conference. If you've been following my page, you know that all through last week, from October 1st to October 7th, I was a virtual attendee with Square and Compass Promotions at this conference. Every night, I was posting very brief videos talking about what I had learned that day, what I was looking forward to the next day. You can see my schedule here. And then also, last Wednesday on October the 7th, I combined all of those videos into one Wednesday information video for everybody to check out. But now that a week has passed, I've had the chance to go through the videos from the conference again, not only my videos, which I'll leave a link to. The link will be in the upper right hand corner, the upper left hand corner, this corner here of your screen. But also, I've had a chance to kind of condense what I think are the most important lessons from the conference, which I think are most applicable to Masonic temples, Masonic buildings, and Masonry in general. Square and Compass attend the APT National Trust Joint Conference 2020. What we learned, and then I got the hashtag down below, APTNT 2020. This list is not meant to be exhaustive, obviously, but I think it's a good overview of the general principles and the general things that I took away and learned from this conference that I hope to apply in my Masonic journey. First thing, Masons can learn from others. I think Freemasonry often has a tendency to be insular. Far too often, we forget that our Masonic challenges are not unique, whether it be concerns regarding membership, or in this case, concerns about maintaining and promoting our heritage properties. You know, most Masonic temples. The golden age of Masonic temple building was from 1870 to 1930. That means a lot of Masonic temples, including the beautiful Windsor Masonic Temple, is a heritage structure. So it's worth considering how other heritage structures are managing and are dealing with the challenges that come from having a heritage property and the way that they are overcoming those challenges. By the same token, while Masonic challenges are not unique, neither need our successes be unique, which I think is an important thing to know as well. Others can learn from Masons. One thing I've tried to do with the Square and Compass podcast is really highlight success stories from Masonic temples. You know, we had the Norfolk Masonic Temple on, but highlight success stories of Masonic temples. But these successes need not be unique to Freemasonry. I think many organizations can learn a lot from what Freemasons and what Masonic buildings have done to promote their temples, to gain revenue, and preserve the historical, what, the historical treasures of the buildings. So, in the same way, Masons need to learn or need to be willing to reach out and try to learn more or to try to learn from others. By the same token, I don't think we should be afraid to share our successes because, you know, I think we're all in the same game. Any heritage property that grows, you know, it's not a competition, it's not a zero-sum game. If one heritage property grows, that can only be a good thing for another heritage It's all about really highlighting and celebrating the history of a region. And whether you're celebrating the history of a region at the Windsor Masonic Temple or St. John's Anglican Church in Windsor or Mackenzie Hall in Windsor, at the end of the day, it's all for the same goal, which is celebrating the region and its history. So I don't think we should be afraid to celebrate, not only to celebrate a Masonic success story, but share how we did it with others. And that's one thing that I thought was absolutely terrific about this conference, is the chance to connect with the other attendees. Many reached out to me and had questions about Freemasonry and Masonic. Because it was a virtual conference, I got to, connect with people from all over the world, all over North America. Now, whenever possible, I tried to steer them toward their local Masonic temple. Masons can learn from others, others can learn from Masons, and there is always something new to learn and or new to question. I think complacency is the enemy of any organization. Masonry should be about lifelong learning and growth. Just because it's never too late to learn something new, and also never too late to question something. Just because something maybe didn't work in the past doesn't mean it won't work now. One of the jokes you always hear is, what does a past master always say? That's not how we did it in my day. Well, I think we want to be careful and not assume that we know everything or that we automatically have the answers. I think it's always good to try something new and question whether or not something will be successful and give it a shot. Even at this conference, there are so many times a presentation made me think of something or made me question why we do things a certain way, but also just questions I never considered about Masonic temples, for example. Are there, what type of What do the Masonic temples look like in other countries where maybe they don't use, traditional architectural methods or the type that we think of as traditional, here in North America? We had a great presentation on architectural designs in South America using earth and timber vernacular. And I wondered, are there any Masonic temples that are using this type of architecture? Not something I'd ever considered before, but I thought it was a really cool question and it'd be a really amazing temple to check out. And so I got in touch with and I connected with some of the presenters, and I'm hoping they'll get back to me and let me know if they know of any of these Masonic temples. This, I think, is so important. Heritage and Freemasonry and Masonry is a story about on intangible connections. One thing I love throughout the conference is how often the presenters stress the importance of emphasizing the connection between the heritage property and the memories and stories contained within. Right? It's not just about the building and the, it's not just about the materials that it's made from which it's made or the designs. But it's about how the materials and the designs connect to the people who make that building a home. That is something I've tried to do with the Windsor Masonic Temple, which is home to many stories. I've been promoting the Masonic Temple, and I've been trying to collect as many stories from the Masonic Temple as I can. I've included a few down in this slide. So many people. They met their wife there. They had graduations there. They had weddings there. There, so many Masonic functions, banquets, installations, Robbie Burns night from St. Andrew's Lodge. And I think that when you're promoting a heritage building, and this is something that they talked about in the conference, it's not just about promoting the building itself. You shouldn't want to do that. You want to promote the building, but you also want to promote why the building is important to people, the stories that it contains, the memories people have of it, and the feelings they get from it. I got a quote on the bottom of the slide here from Doctor Who. If anybody else is a Doctor Who fan, you might recognize it. Right? We're all stories in the end. And I think that a heritage property at its best, and when it's run at its best, whatever the heritage property is, it recognizes those stories and it preserves those stories. Or, it preserves those stories and it's always trying to create new ones. I know I've got many stories of the Windsor Recite Temple, and so do a lot of people in Windsor. And, promoting those, that's what heritage really should be all about, is promoting and preserving the connection people have to a building. This was a great quote I believe it was day five of the conference, which I really liked, and it's something that I feel very strongly about with Masonic temples. Underused buildings will suffer. I think so often Masonic temples, far too often, Masons view them as, it's a place that we go to once a week or once a month, and then the rest of the time it just sits empty. Which to me is such a missed opportunity for revenue and for growth. One thing I've tried to do with the Windsor Masonic Temple is really make sure to promote not just the Masonic aspect of the building. That is vitally important to me as a Mason, and it is the Windsor Masonic Temple. But not only promote the Masonic history of the building, but also the community history of the building. I've spoken with Ballroom at its Best, who rents out the ballroom for its dance classes twice a week and its recitals. I've talked to Joyce, the ballroom manager, about all the weddings and dances and graduation ceremonies they've had there. I've talked to the Learning Center about the Scottish Rite Learning Center for Children with Dyslexia, which is on the fourth floor. I really think a Masonic property, a Masonic temple, especially if it's owned by the Masonic Lodge or Masonic lodges that meet in the building, can be it can be a community hub. It can be a place where the community has fond memories of it and wants to protect and wants to see grow. That can only be good for the craft. That can only be good for the building. It, as the presentation, reinvestment, regeneration, and relevancy, new value in historic places discussed. The more a building is used, the better a building's positive environmental impact will be. It will see revenue growth, and it will see growth in terms of just community involvement, which I think is always a good thing. I think far too often Masonic temples are underused, and ultimately suffer from it, from being underused. And we got to give a lot of credit here at this point to the Windsor Masonic Temple Board, the Board of Masonic Temple Association, for working hard to make sure that our building is used by multiple events. I just think that was such an important point. Oh, every this is something, it's a quote that stood out to me. Environmental actions are symbols in a building full of symbols. Now, in the presentation, they were referring to churches that had worked on improving their environmental footprint, their carbon footprint, but this quote stood out for me, as it should for any Mason. Whenever people are asked, as they're advancing, what is Freemasonry, they will know. I won't give the whole thing, but they'll know that part of it is that it is illustrated by symbols, and a Masonic lodge room is full of symbols that have great meaning, or they should have great meaning to every Mason. So, I got a picture there, Masonic temples, Freemasonry, ritual architecture, and Mason archetypes by William D. Moore. I had an interview with him for this Smart Compass podcast. But if ever there was a building that is full of symbols, it is a Masonic temple and a Masonic lodge room. So, and that just got me thinking, any actions that a Masonic temple takes for the environment, for growth, is itself a symbol. So that just stood out to me in a Masonic context. Oh, so many windows, so many opportunities. This is a picture of the front of the Windsor Masonic Temple. Actually, it's the Windsor Masonic Temple scale model. But during the conference, one of the presentations was about new technologies related to windows and windows that were more environmentally friendly, that were better at maintaining and not allowing heat to escape, reducing energy consumption in the building, in the temple, which just got me thinking. Again, it's one of those things, like, there's always something new to think about. I mean, as a thought experiment, the Windsor Masonic Temple alone has so many windows. You think about all the Masonic temples throughout the world that were built in, that are heritage properties, so built before these new technologies were available. How much money could be saved? How much income could be saved if Masonic buildings were to consider things such as, retrofitting their windows to be more energy efficient, or any number of energy efficient options? I tried to, just as a fun experiment, try to imagine how many windows exist on Masonic temples that are, approximately 100 years old, and it's got to be in the hundreds of thousands worldwide, if not the millions. Another thing I learned, connections matter. I think the conference did an amazing job at encouraging connections, and I'm proud to say that Square and Compass made several, and I hope to have several of these connections on the Square and Compass podcast. I've got on the right-hand side of the screen, that's the main attendees page from the conference website. So you could go through everybody and connect with people, get their contact information, and get in touch with them about what they learned at the conference and what they perhaps, like I said at the start, Masons can learn from others. So what they could perhaps teach Masons about heritage properties, heritage buildings, their maintenance, their preservation, their promotion. So I just got to say thank you, APT and National Trust. You guys did an amazing job. I made a lot of connections, like I said, which I very much hope I will be able to, which I plan to use for my podcast for, at least throughout the year. And next year, I cannot wait for the 2021 conference, which is scheduled for Washington, D.C. I'm really hoping by then, that the lockdowns are all finished, travel's back up and regular, and I get the chance to be there in person, because Washington would be an amazing place to visit. Thank you, APT National Trust, again for hosting a terrific 2020 conference. Look forward to 2021.